chapter number 26. And I want to preach to you on gaining confidence. I found this passage of Scripture when I started reading it in preparation to preach it. And you know, this is where we're at in our series as we're working our way through the book of Psalms here. And I just seen this thing. And sometimes when you read the Bible, something just catches you. Have you ever noticed that? Like, my goodness, this guy's saying some stuff I don't think I would say to God. And it's inspired Scripture. God wants it there. So that makes me just kind of step up for a second and kind of prayerfully stand at attention and say, Lord, what am I missing here? And as I delve into this thing, I figured out, I believe, what the Lord at least has for us today from this passage. Psalm 26, verse number 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Brother Rob, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching this evening, please? Amen. Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. I'll be honest with you, when I read that, that's something that I don't know I could say to the Lord with extreme confidence. How about you? I mean, are you that sure that your integrity is that wonderful? Do you really want God to examine you? I mean, way down deep into the recesses of your soul and your heart. You might say, preacher, I got great integrity. I don't cheat. I'm not lying. I don't steal. I'm living clean. I'm living right. And you can say that with some confidence if it's true. But do you really want God to get down deep and go all the way down in there to your heart and examine and try your heart and your heart motives? Now that's something I'm not so sure about. Because the Bible tells us the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've realized more than once in my life that while I'm serving the Lord and doing some things for God, that my motive for what I was doing was very selfish. And even when my motive started outright and God blessed what I did, quickly, without realizing it, somehow I changed hands and I became very proud of what I accomplished for the Lord. That scares me, my heart. And God seeing my heart scares me even more because I'm a sinner just like you are. I'm reading this thing and I'm looking at his confidence and I'm saying, where in the world does this man come up with all this confidence? Let's be honest, when the preacher preaches about or you think about or you read your Bible or you pray and you begin to meditate on the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Now, most everybody here to know understands the different judgments, and the judgment seat of Jesus Christ is that judgment that is for the church, for born-again Christians. It's not a judgment saying, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? It is a judgment for the Christian after he was saved and how he served the Lord with his life. All right? That thing's not about whether or not you're going to heaven. You're already there. And that judgment takes place before God. When we talk about that judgment or think about that judgment, the honest truth is most Christians become fearful. They become nervous. There's an apprehension or anxiety there that honestly makes a little bit of sense. I mean, here's a good example. If the preacher busts out the Bible and starts showing you something about world events and what the Bible says about prophecy, and you start looking at how everything fits together, and you realize that the second coming of Jesus Christ, the first phase of that being the rapture of the church, that the rapture could happen any second now, how does that make you feel in your stomach? Christians, we ought to rejoice at that. That's our blessed hope. But the fact of the matter is, most of us would swallow real hard and say, am I ready to see Christ? Am I ready to see my Savior? Have I done what I should? Have I done enough? And it can cause a lot of apprehension. You know, tonight I don't necessarily want to beat you down. I'm not necessarily going to preach at you about all the sin in your life. What I want to do is just try to give us a better perspective. And if the Holy Spirit wants to deal with you about sin, there will be plenty of opportunity for that. But my goal is to help every one of us tonight gain some confidence in seeing our Savior. It's supposed to be our joy. It's supposed to be our rejoicing. It's supposed to be something that is our blessed hope. And I think we fail in that. This guy had so much confidence, it's amazing. James Dobson told a story about a friend of his who was in medical school. And he is busy, he's going by the little cafeteria area or something like that, and he has his hands full of books and a briefcase and the whole nine yards, and he stops, sets the stuff down, and he gets himself a milkshake. He puts that milkshake, he's kind of balancing it on top of everything. If you've ever been to college, this makes a lot of sense to you. He's trying to balance that thing on top of all his books as he's carrying it to the table, and he's just starving, you know, it's the temptation is too much, and so he goes to get a drink out of that milkshake, and the straw goes right up his nose. And he figures, well, if I just straighten up and shake it off, it'll stay, you know. So he straightens up and shakes it off, and guess what? It didn't shake off. It stuck in his nose, and he splattered all kinds of junk all over his clothes. You know what happened? At that point, he lost his confidence. And you know, sometimes what happens to you in life is you look at something and it seems like it's going to make sense and everything's going to be all right, and it doesn't work out exactly like you're expecting it to work out, and then you make a big mess out of stuff, and it's a real embarrassing situation. And you lose your confidence. Right? I'm going to do. My New Year's resolution is. Most of you have already failed if you said any. Amen. And that's just reality. You get saved and you think you're going to accomplish something. You think you're going to be something. And when reality doesn't seem to match up with your expectations, you can lose your confidence. So what is it in this passage that made the psalmist, I mean, this was David. Think about the messes this man created. Think about the problems and the failures and the sin that had come up in this man's life. And yet he has such confidence before God, before he's even in the New Testament, before Christ has even died on the cross for him or sealed him eternally. If David can have this level of confidence, you and I ought to have an even greater level of confidence, because we have Jesus Christ in a way David didn't have him. Look at this stuff. The first thing you and I need in order to have confidence before the Lord, confidence in the judgment, is we need to be a people who walk in truth. Look at verse 3. He says, I've walked in thy truth. Now, a little bit of what I'm going to say here for just a little while is going to be real basic. You all know it. But I'm purposely being basic. Because every once in a while, it's real good to go back to just the basics and refresh our memory. You know what truth you and I need to not forget to walk in? I'll show you. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. Go there if you would. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what you and I need to walk in the truth of? We need to walk into the truth of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. And when I start thinking about the fact that Jesus didn't just die for my sins before I was saved, but he knew the ones I was going to commit after my salvation, and that he washed all of them away, not just the old ones, but the failures I've had since I was saved, the failures that I have on a regular basis, all those that are coming in my future, I've shared with you repeatedly in the past, and really, honestly, a guy's heart comes out when he preaches. You can't help but to let your heart come out a little bit. And you've heard me say in the past how it just, that one of the greatest fears I have is living my life in the ministry and trying to preach and trying to win souls and trying to disciple and winding up getting down the road a little bit in my life and in my influence and my ministry and in my family and then messing up and quitting on God. That's one of my greatest fears. But let me tell you something. I've seen so many do that, really. And you're not above it and neither am I. But let me tell you, one of my greatest comforts is knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed all of my sin, and it kind of pushes that fear away just a little bit, and it gives me a little bit of confidence in the salvation I've got in Jesus Christ. No matter what, He's got it all covered. That's a blessing to me. That helps me with my confidence a little bit. I read this story about the pioneers. Some certain pioneers were making their way across some of the central states, and as they were going, they looked off to the west and they saw a big line of smoke and they knew it was a forest fire. It was a prairie fire coming towards them. And about a day prior, they had crossed a river, but they knew there was no way they could make it back to that river before that fire got to them. And they kind of started panicking. You know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to sit out here in the open and this fire is going to overtake us. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. But one man had the presence of mind to figure out what to do. So what he did is he went to the other side of them. The winds were coming from the west. He went to the east of them and he just started a fire. And he let that thing burn towards the east as that thing's coming from the west. Are you with me? And once that thing burned through, he said, all right, everybody, let's just park it over here and wait. And a little girl come up to him and she says, how do we know the fire's not going to get us? How do we know it's not going to get us? It's coming towards us. He said, because we are where the flames have already been. You see, Jesus Christ is the one that took my judgment. He is the one that paid my price on the cross of Calvary. So He already has been in those flames. He went through there and paid that thing for me. The fire already consumed my sin when I get into the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. It doesn't matter what's coming. I'm okay because it's already been burnt there. Hey, thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I've walked in thy truth. Do you remember that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin? You know what helps you in a time of temptation? When you're, I'm struggling, I'm really struggling, I'm really tempted. You know what helps you? Honestly, stop for a second and get kind of doctrinal. Say, wait a minute, why am I tempted with something the Lord's already washed away? Why do I want to do something God's already taken away from me? I'm a new creature, aren't I? So now, all of a sudden, before I didn't have the ability to say no, but now I can say no. That'll help you. It'll build your confidence a little bit to walk in the truth of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know nowadays, you know, that bloody religion that, oh, you got to water that thing down and you better not be offensive and all that. So, but really, without the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, I'm still in my sin. You realize that? I'm not apologizing today for believing in the old-fashioned blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washed away the sins of a wicked man. Thank God for the blood. I'm glad I can walk in that truth. There's another truth we need to walk in. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter number 15. It'll help you have confidence in the day of Christ. Confidence in the judgment. Not only walking in the truth of the blood, but walking in God's Word. In the truth of the book. Look at John 15 and verse number 3. Now ye are clean. How? Through the word which I've spoken unto you. Christian, do you love your Bible? You realize if you got that book and you've been listening to that book, you're clean? You know what I love about our church? I love the fact that I can get up and preach like I did this morning, and I really wasn't that mean. In the weeks previous, I've been a little rougher lately. And really, I mentioned it this morning, how I used to be, there'd be people come and cause trouble and get mad, and I mean, walk out, slam doors so bad to shake windows and that kind of thing. But lately here, we haven't had that much. And as people are leaving, they're like, hey, brother, thanks. That was a blessing. You know what that tells me? One of two things. I was thinking about my comments this morning, and I said, sometimes if people aren't getting mad at me, I feel like I'm not right with God. And that's the truth. They crucified Jesus Christ, right? And read what they did to all the prophets. So the rest of that sissified Christianity stuff, that, oh, you shouldn't be like that, that's not reality, folks. Reality is if you're truly preaching the truth, even if you're doing it in love, they're going to get mad. And I said, sometimes I wonder if I'm right with God when people aren't mad at me as they're leaving. But you know, the flip side of that same argument is maybe God's put some people here that really have a hunger for truth. Hey, that's a blessing. That ought to give you confidence in the judgment that you walk in the Word of God. You realize God's Word is going to go against your grain? Bob Jones Sr. said, if it rubs the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. Yep. Amen. That's exactly. Don't ask the preacher to change. Turn the cat around. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're just not going to write your paycheck. Don't. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I wouldn't want the filthy lucre of this world at the cost of God's approval on my life for any amount of money. Amen. We need to walk in the truth of God's Word. You know what He said about that thing? He said, now ye are what? You ever read Ephesians 5? What God does for the church? How does He sanctify and cleanse her? Come on. There's got to be one or two of you that read your Bible. How does He sanctify and cleanse her? Come on, class. A couple kids know it. Shame on the parents. Washing of water by the Word. So you need to start reading it. Just kidding. How does He sanctify and cleanse that church? He washes her with the water of the Word of God. Why do I harp on you and harp on you and harp on you and harp on you about reading your Bible every day of your life? Every day of your life. No excuses. Every day. Why? Because it'll clean you up. You see, God knows we need to be washed. You say, well, how's that a comfort, preacher? How does that cause you to gain confidence? Because I wouldn't need to be washed if I didn't get dirty. And God knows that. And God loves me. So He says, here's my Word. You're clean through the Word I've spoken unto you. Here's my blood. It takes care of it. Now, in our relationship between us, I'm going to wash you up. I'm going to wash you up. I'm going to keep washing you up. Are you in the book? If you're reading your Bible every day and doing your best to obey it and trying to get right with it, just your best. Just do your best. You can have confidence before Him when He comes. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God for the Word of God. Folks, you and I need to walk in the truth of that book. Just before the death of actor W.C. Fields, a friend visited Fields in the hospital room, was surprised to find him thumbing through a Bible. He asked him what he was doing in his Bible, and you know what Fields said? I'm looking for a loophole. You know what that man doesn't have? He doesn't have an iota, an ounce, not an ounce of confidence before God. You aren't going to find a loophole, but you will find a way of escape. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, you ought not be reading that Bible for loopholes. I'm so wore out with it. I'm just tired of it. And I've been guilty of it myself in the past. But I'm tired of seeing it. There's more and more of this influence coming into Christian churches and among Christian circles where we can live and practice and do everything the world does. And it's okay. It's justified. Where in the Bible does it say thou shalt not smoke pot? Dude. Yeah, I know I can give you a lot of things, and I won't because I don't want to be disgusting and inappropriate. But I could give you a list of things that says, where in the Bible does it say thou shalt not? And there's some things God doesn't put there because your conscience already told you it ain't right. And you want to go alter your state of mind. It's natural, man. You want to go alter your state of mind and open yourself up to those kind of influences? Knock yourself out. Not me. Quit making excuses. Quit looking for loopholes in the Bible. If you're really in that book's going to squeeze some of that junk out of you. It's not going to give you excuses to do it. Amen. Walking in His truth will give you confidence before Him when He comes. You know, there's another truth, though. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, not only the truth of the blood, not only the truth of the Word of God, but look at 1 John 4. I thank God for this one. You see, this one gives me great confidence before the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. I knew it. He can't be a Bible believer. He's preaching the love of God. Sure I can. Hey, I believe this book, and I stand for all the conservative stuff the Bible teaches, and whatever, man. I mean, whatever. No apologies. Absolutely no apologies. I don't like the way you deliver it. Well, I don't like the way you commented about it. You know, I don't care. Whatever. You know, I mean, knock yourself out. Amen. You know I love you, but really, really, no apologies. But I'm glad I got a loving God. I'm glad my God can be real tender, and He is. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. I don't think I'm ready to stand before the Lord. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, when you learn to love God the way he loves you and love him because he first loved you, something changes in there. And that fear you once had is changed into love. Ain't that a blessing? Can I just be honest with you here for a minute? And I ain't trying to step on anybody's toes or offend anybody, but the reality is reality, and we just have to deal with that like adults. The reality is too many independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing Baptist preachers have spent so much time pressuring people and beating up on people to live an unrealistic standard that they themselves don't even live. Amen. You got to know them, you know, the real them, you know? I mean, the real, the one they are at home and everything else. They're not even what they present in the pulpit. It's just part of why I'm so blunt with you like I am. I mean, you know, people don't pick on me as much. You know, a preacher said that. No, they're used to it. They're like, that's a preacher, you know. Whatever. This makes my life a lot easier. But the reality is they put so much pressure on people to be a certain thing that's not even realistic, that it creates so much fear, people no longer have any confidence in God. It's like, oh no, the furnace broke. God's trying to tell me something. I don't know what it is, and I'm trying to serve him, but I know God's getting me. You're not made perfect in love. That ain't confidence in the Lord. That ain't knowing and understanding your heavenly Father. Come on. I mean, relax a little bit. Breathe. You can breathe. It's okay. Breathe. You're saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed you from all sin. And the end of that thing is you're going to see him, okay? Now let's just breathe. Amen. Not trying to give you a boldness and a confidence in sin or in the world. I know you understand that. I'm trying to encourage your heart that we're going to get raptured out of here soon, and we're going to stand before the Lord, and he is going to judge us. And hey, if we'll follow what he said, that judgment just might go okay. Hey, praise the Lord for that. And I can just walk in his blood. I can walk in his truth. I can walk in his love. With that, I gain some confidence by walking in truth. These things I showed you tonight are truth, folks. He loves you. Hey, man, thank God for that. Hey, the mountains might crumble. The ocean could go dry. Everything else around us could fall apart. But there's one thing that's true. I'm standing on a rock that ain't changing, and he loves me. Amen. Thank God for that. But let me show you the second thing here. In Psalm 26, he has this confidence because look at verse number 6. He says, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. You notice in verses 4 and 5 what he says. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And then in verse number 6 he says, I'll wash my hands in innocency. Why is he washing his hands? You ever think about Christ's example when he came and he washed the disciples' feet and he said, ye are clean, but not all? Hey, did the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin? You're clean. If you drop dead right now, in the middle of smoking a joint or whatever kind of sin you're hiding, right now, if you got saved and trusted Christ, and you are saved, his blood cleansed you. Ye are clean. Thank God for that. But not all. Ye did not save but to wash your feet. That's what Christ said in the New Testament. Why? Because when you walk in a dirty world, your feet get dirty, don't they? I mean, come on. Haven't you had thoughts come in your head from billboard signs and advertisements and filthiness you're seeing and just kind of just come in your head and you got to say, nope, that ain't right. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, right? He said, I'll wash my hands. Why? Because your hands get dirty, don't they? But he's still confident. Some of you, you mess up or you make a little bit of a mistake or you fail God a little bit and you fall apart. And you throw your hands up in despair and you give up and you quit on God. Oh, I'm so guilty. I'm so wicked. Hey, I realize that. Even the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, when they saw a holy God, they fell down flat on their face before Him, said, woe is me, I'm unclean, I'm a man of unclean lips, I'm in the midst of an unclean people. I mean, when you see the reality of how holy God is, there's no room for arrogance at all. But folks, we should have a certain amount of confidence in our relationship with the Lord. We should have a certain amount of confidence in the effort we're putting forward to serve God. I'm not trying to give you arrogance or pride, I'm trying to tell you, there ought to be a level of confidence before the Lord. If you are doing your best, keep your accounts short. Make confession a daily part of your life, minute to minute. Hey, don't even like make up your list for the end of the day and then clear it all up. Hey, make it minute to minute, second to second. Soon as that thing enters your head, get it right with God. Soon as you did it, say you're sorry. Mean it. And He promised you in 1 John 1:9 that He's faithful and He's just to forgive you and cleanse you. Your hands are washed in innocence. You can walk like that. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I know me too well. And I know too many other saints, you know. God bless them. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I really don't. But I do believe I can keep myself clean and keep my account short and keep cleaning up. I mean, just being neurotic about taking showers. I mean, that guy's got a mental illness. He's in the shower again and it's been 30 seconds. I mean, that's how you want to be spiritually. Amen. Amen. Keep it clean. How? Wash your hands. Well, how do you know that you're keeping it clean? Look at him. He refuses to meddle with some stuff. He says, I've not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. Now, God constantly throughout the Bibles, and especially in the, throughout the Bible, and especially in the Psalms, He has an A-B-A-B format. He'll just do a 1-2 punch. Now, watch this thing. He does it twice. Sat with vain, neither will I go in. You've got to walk to go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Boom, 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 boom. What's he saying? He's saying this. I ain't sitting around with the vain. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's not sitting with the wrong crowd because he wasn't walking the wrong way. And he just takes a step back from there and says, neither will I go in with dissemblers. So he's saying, I'm not going in with dissemblers. I'm not sitting there because I didn't walk that way and I'm not going to walk that way so I don't wind up sitting there. Are you with me? What's vain men? Not just, you know, that kind of vanity. Just emptiness. Just frivolous. We're full of it in our society. Time wasters. Just interested in things that don't profit and aren't going to get anywhere. Just empty vacuums of nothingness when they think they're something. Don't walk with vain men. Don't get yourself wrapped up in vain conversation. It will lead to sin, I promise. Be real careful about who you listen to. Even religious people, especially religious people. Be real careful about who and what you listen to. Watch out for vanity and emptiness. He says, I won't sit with the vain. I'm not going to hang around with them. I'm not going to sit in the break room if they constantly want to make those kind of jokes and those kind of innuendos and talk about those kind of subject matters and look at those kind of things and pull that stuff up on their little computers that they got or have those magazines hit over that. I'm not going to hang around with that crowd. I'm not going to sit around it because I know I'm not perfect and I got a God to answer to and I better be real careful. I'm just not even going to get around that company. I'm to get out of there. Amen. You got no business hanging out at a party. Unless it's, you know, a revival party or a bunch of Christians that are, you know, the strongest thing they're drinking is Pepsi. Amen. And I'm not talking about the spike kind. I'm talking about carbonated regular Pepsi. Amen. You got no business sitting around vain people. He says we have no business walking with dissemblers. What's a dissembler? That's a good question, ain't it? Dissembler is somebody who's got a false appearance. A fake face. How many fake Christians have you known? plenty of them. You know, they put on one face around you. Yeah. And then behind your back, they're like, ugh. Right? He said, I won't be around false, fake people. Now, let me just stop for a second. We're all hypocrites. I heard one preacher say it this way, and I love it, so I'll repeat it, and I don't even have to give him credit. I don't think he copyrighted it. But here's the deal. You know, some people say, I don't want to come to church because I don't want to be around all those hypocrites. You know, too many hypocrites in the church. He says, hey, that's all right. Don't worry about it. There's always room for one more. Amen. But you realize you don't have to be fake. I know sometimes we're all hypocrites. You know, how you doing? I'm fine, thank you. How are you? You're a blessing too. Right? We're all a little hypocritical. But why can't some people just be real? It's hysterically funny. My wife and I talk about it all the time. How people, I mean, you know there's not really much of a spiritual bone in their body, and you're okay with that. I mean, they need to grow. You love them. It's okay. But then they get around you, and they start talking, because they know you're a pastor. They start talking all spiritual. Ever heard a lost person do that? And it's just kind of like awkward. Yeah, that's great. What do we say? This is really weird. Dissembler. Don't put on for people. Be real. You know what this is? When you come in these doors, this ought to be your church family. You understand that? When I get around my family, I enjoy it because I can just wear my jeans and my t-shirt, bump into people, start like, I've never seen you dressed like that. Yeah, I wear blue jeans. Could you imagine? You expect to see me walking through this door in a tie and a praise the Lord. Hi, how are you? No, I'm shopping and I hate it. Amen. Be real. This is your family. You ought to be able to relax and be yourself, right? He said, I'm not hanging around with that kind of crowd. I'm not going to get around the dissemblers. A dissembler is somebody that's not just fake, but they undermine. Yeah, man. We got them visiting our church right now. Here and there, coming by, and then leaving and saying we're a cult. You don't even know what a definition of a cult is. And I'm a real poor cult leader if I tell you I'm not the authority. God's word is, there's a book over there that I didn't write, and that's the authority. Wow, have you ever looked up a cult? That's not what a cult leader does, ever. He gets you to follow the man. Because the man said so. Period. The man's the authority. And then the man's writings can also be the authority. And the man's dogmas and the man's decrees. You follow the man's religion. I don't have a religion. I got a book that I didn't write. That's my authority. You grade me and judge me based on the book. And let's follow the book. That ain't a cult. Dissemblers. Like to come in and kind of undermine things, you know, go behind your back and kind of work their own little angles. David said, not me. I'm not hanging around that crowd. That's why I tell you all the time, the deacons in this church are not liaisons to the pastor. Will you go talk to pastor about? These guys will be like, you know, if they're really being nice to you, they'll say, yeah, I'll mention it to him, but they're just being nice to you. Really? And if they're in a bad mood, they'll be like, why don't you go talk to them? Amen. And then it comes to me, hey, so-and-so wanted me to talk to you. I'm like, well, tell them to come talk to me themselves. That, you know, there's no dissembling going on. You understand that? You get the point? I know there's not a lot of that happens here at this church, and thank God for it. But that's bad stuff. That's a bad spirit. David said, I ain't hanging out with that crowd. How many churches have you been in that are just like that? Committees running this, and that committee running the other, and this person's got their agenda, and that person wants to do this, and they want to do it that way, and the other guy wants to do it the other way, and she wants to do this, and they want to do that, these decorations, not those, this budget, not that, blah, 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 and it just never stops. There's no unity. God ain't in that mess. David said, I ain't walking in that. I ain't hanging around with that. I have nothing to do with any of that. God save our church from being a hypocritical, fake, put-on church. Let's be real people with real problems, with a real God and a real book in a real world trying to reach real people. Amen. Come in here and enjoy being together. No agendas. That was David's approach. He said he's not going to sit with the wicked in verse number 5. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Let me just ask you a question. When you sit around and watch things for entertainment, what do you watch? I have never got up here and been like, you can't have a TV in your house to be right with God. I mean, I wouldn't even go there. You know why? Because I might want to get one back when my kids grow up. Amen. And you spent 20 years preaching against them and now you got one. You know, that's really embarrassing. But the reality is, you better be careful about what you watch. I will not sit with the wicked. It just irritates me to no end when people get mad at me for using too rough of language. Should he have said that? I mean, I get that quite a bit because I say some things that people are like, should he have said that? And that's between me and God. But the fact of the matter is, why would that bother anybody who sits on their couch and watches every vile sin there is on the planet? And then walks into church and becomes a dissembler. Puts on a fake face and pretends to be something they don't like and gets on the preacher for talking too rough. And then I'll go home and watch things, blood splatter all over the TV screen and guts go flying everywhere as they're chopping people up and screaming Jesus Christ's name in vain and every other ungodly thing. I mean, nowadays the stuff is just absolutely explicitly perverse. Amen. And they sit there and don't think a thing. That's so funny. I shouldn't laugh at that. Oh, should the preacher have said that? Good. I think you offended them. That's okay. Let God work on them. That's okay. It really didn't offend them. Not if they watch that stuff. Be careful about what you watch. I enjoy watching some stuff. I'll just be real with you. No dissembling. I enjoy watching some good, funny stuff. If I can find something clean, funny, old-school comedy is great. I love watching Laurel and Hardy or the Three Stooges beat each other half to death for 30 minutes. I think it's great. I think it's hysterical. I mean, when I get frustrated in the ministry, that is, if I ever teach a pastor school, that is going to be one of the things I'm going to teach on. When you have a really bad day at church, go home and watch Laurel and Hardy or the Three Stooges beat each other to death. Because everyone wanted to do that guy today. You know? I mean, it'll help you, man. It'll help you a lot. I mean, really. But be careful about watching filthy stuff. Amen. Notice something else. He says he's not going to walk with the evildoers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. You know what we do, Christians? We fraternize too much with the wrong crowd. You can take a stand for Jesus Christ and suffer a little bit for him, and it'll do you some good. I mean, please, let's not turn into the holy spirits of our workplace. The Holy Spirits of the church. Do you think you should be doing that? It really doesn't matter. I'm doing it, you know. So, I mean, really, you know, I mean, do you ever get around Christians like that? Isn't it obnoxious? So there's a way, folks, to be clean and to be right and to be a testimony and to stand without being ignorant and obnoxious. We have a testimony. I was thinking about this today. I'm here to stay. Some will come and some will go. Some will love it. Some will hate it. But I'm here to stay. I mean, you're going to have to ruthlessly fire me to get me out of here. Amen. And I'll just fight long enough just to be spiteful before I leave. Amen. This is where God called me. Amen. Amen. So you know what I want to do? I want to build a good reputation in this town. And the preacher said it last Sunday. He went into the barber shop in New Hudson, and they were talking, and he invited them to church, and they said, yeah, well, yeah, that little place over there in 10 Mile, man, that place has really been growing. Yeah. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's build the right reputation. You can take a stand in your workplace and do it the right way. He said, I ain't hanging out with that crowd. I ain't going to be like that crowd. I'm not going to run with that crowd. I'm going to keep myself clean. Why? When I see the Lord, I'll be confident before him. You can have that confidence. Notice the last thing. How this man gains confidence before the Lord is with the worship of the saints. Look at verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregations while I bless the Lord. Notice this man is not going to dwell among the wrong kind of people. You realize you go to church somewhere? Drive by it on Friday night. You'll see where most people worship. They gather around there at the bar and they have, you know, happy hour. You know, they have their brews and they sit out there and they kind of, you know, just let their hair down a little bit and their guard drops a little bit. What are you doing hanging around with bloody men? I never thought I'd get pulled over. Well, you were hanging around with the wrong crowd, so it happened. Why would you ladies put yourself in that position? Get around a bunch of guys who've been drinking? Are you crazy? And then you wonder why you don't get treated like a lady? That's the culture we live in, folks. I mean, come on, what do you expect in those places? He says, I ain't going to gather myself with the bloody men. I'm going to get away from them. I don't want to be around them. Why? Their hands are accepting bribes. You get caught up in that mess, and I'm telling you something, you'll get caught up in it. You'll become part of it without realizing it. You know where you and I ought to gather? Right here. Praise the Lord. Your old friends want to go have a brew, then they can go knock themselves out. Don't invite me. I'm good. Thank you. You want to come to church with me on Sunday? I love you. Be glad to sit in fellowship with you on the pew after church. See how long that lasts. See if they come knocking. If they come, they're really your friend. He's not somewhere he gathers. He says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Why did he want to be in the house of God? Why did he want to be around God's people? Why did he want to gather in a godly congregation? Because he wants to be where God's honor dwells. Look at verse 8. The place where thine honor dwelleth. Ain't it wonderful to walk into church every once in a while where you know Jesus Christ is preached, where you know the truth is being preached, where everybody is there because it's all about Him and not all about them. It's all about Jesus Christ and not all about the preacher. It's all about the fellowship of the saints and not all about the people. Isn't it nice once in a while to get around a crowd that just seems to be clean, amen? That's putting aside all the stuff of the world. Forget about all the pressure. Forget about all the temptation. Just get in here together and worship God a little bit. It's wonderful, isn't it? You ought to have an oasis you can get to. You ought to have a place where you can come and breathe. After a long week in a sinful world, he had confidence before God because he loved being around God's people and the habitation of his house. I'm thankful for the attendance tonight. This is great. Amen. We'll cancel Wednesday night once a month if this happens. Look at this morning too, man. That was phenomenal. No, I'm just kidding. We ain't canceling nothing. Don't eat. I went out recorded now. Good night. Who knows what they'll be tweeting and posting and saying. Good Lord, help us. Look. So this morning was a blessing, man. We had more in attendance this morning than we had last Sunday. Praise the Lord, man. Without a bluegrass gospel group. Praise the Lord, man. That's great, ain't it? Hey, make this place your love. Somebody said to me today, I just can't tell you how good it feels to walk in here. I said, you know what? I was thinking the same thing on my way in. I was just looking forward to getting to church. And for me, it's all the work. You know, it's the preaching and this, that, and the other. Hey, praise, I couldn't wait to get here. Praise the Lord. Hey, make this place somewhere you love being. We got to go to church. Please, you know, I want you to come anyways, but leave that spirit at the door. Don't drag that spirit in here. Drag the rest of us down. Get here with some joy. Amen. Couldn't get rid of people today. I had to start shutting off lights because my kids are, I'm so hungry, Dad. I'm going to die if you don't feed me right now. Like, oh, I got to shut these kids up, get some food in their mouth, you know. Shutting lights so people wouldn't leave. They're just hanging around fellowshipping. Folks, you realize that when there's that hunger and that love for being here, something good is happening? You realize that? That's a good sign. So, you know, everybody, give yourself, you know, that's a sign that the Lord's saying, hey, you like being around my people and where my spirit is, and that's a good thing. I love being in the house of God. Getting in here and letting God get a shot at me. And he does. Amen. He does. I got to prepare all these things and go over it meticulously. You kind of get this and get that. And God gives me every piece of it. I mean, it's rough on me. But it's nice. Letting God just take some shots at me and straighten me up and clean me up and get my thinking right and reorienting me to what I need to be oriented to. That's what church is all about. God's honor dwells there. It's a place of thanksgiving, he says. Man, in a grumpy world, ain't that a blessing? You ever listen to people complain? I mean, Facebook has just really just tore us all to shreds, hasn't it? It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just hear and tell some new thing. I was thinking about that verse this week. It's just like always some new thing. I just ate leftover mashed potatoes from yesterday. Wow. Okay. Next, let's see what next interesting thing is. There's a picture of my dog sitting on a snow pile. That's an inside joke. Never mind. I almost posted one after that. My dog came in the house. This is a good Facebook post for you. A little commercial break here for a second. My wife comes in. I was eating a bowl of something at the counter. I think I was eating. And she comes. She said, what is that? Oh, my goodness, I'm going to puke. And she runs the other way. I'm like, what is it? She's like, it's a bird laying in the living room. The girl's all, and I'm eating. I'm like, she's like, honey, you got to get this. I can't. I'm like, I'm eating. I'll get it in a second. And I keep eating, you know. Like, I got to finish my food. I'll get it in a second. Don't worry about that. They just wouldn't shut. It was like, oh, my, I couldn't relax and eat the last few bites, you know. But I finished my food anyways while they kept screaming and hollering. I went around the corner and I looked, and there literally is a bird. A big bird. I mean, he was a good-sized bird. His beak was twisted back so bad you could hardly tell it was a bird, other than the two legs were out there like that, you know. And half of the bird's body was eaten through. I mean, there's... Am I being gross? You got TVs. You're all right, right? Okay. You could see his guts. And I said, that's why you buy German Shepherds. They got the killer instinct. Amen. Literally. I know he didn't kill it. He found it out there after the freezer or something. A raccoon ate half of it, and he picked it up and carried it in the house. That would have made a good Facebook post. Amen. You know, this stuff is just ridiculous, though, folks. Isn't it ridiculous? It's annoying, ain't it? You see these people on Facebook that all they want to do is complain.
Having a bad day.
I want to put comment. Another? It's ridiculous. My kids are making me crazy. Well, join the club. We don't want to hear about it. We're dealing with our own. I love my kids. Don't take that wrong. But it just gets ridiculous, doesn't it? Ain't it nice to get somewhere and laugh a little bit? Amen. Ain't it nice to get somewhere and give some thanks? That's what the house of God's about. I'm thankful for the blood. I'm thankful for the book. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful that in the judgment, I got some confidence, and that confidence, it ain't about Mike. It's about Jesus. That's why I'm confident. Look at verse 12. This is the last thing, and we'll get out of here. Verse number 12. He said, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. You know what this place is? It's an even place. I love that. God save us from being a clicky, clubby church. Family run. You're in the clique, you're not. Ground's level at the foot of the cross. Somebody that's homeless can walk in here and sit on the front row. And if I see you moving, switching seats, I'm going to say, come here. You should go over there. Amen. I mean, amen. Amen. And somebody with $1 million can walk in here and sit down, and we don't know or care because they need Jesus.
Well, he's got a lot of money. Let him do the giving.
Yeah. He's probably got a lot of burdens, too. What do you care about that? Did you see what he's driving? Well, do you know what he's carrying? You see, their ground's level here. If you're a prince or a pauper, it doesn't matter either way to me. Either way, I want to reach rich people and I want to reach poor people. You know why? Because they're people. Amen. And that's why I don't count the money or see who gives what. You all got your statements today? If you didn't get it tonight because they're ready, I got no idea. Amen. You know, I like being able to say that. Because I love you, and I don't want you to think anything else. And if you don't give because I don't look, shame on you, you wretch. You'll answer to God for it. Amen. Amen. I got confidence. Why? Well, because of Jesus. I will bless the Lord. That's what he said. I read this story about this painter, John Sargent. He once painted a panel of roses that was highly praised by critics. Was a small picture, but it approached perfection. Although offered a high price for it on many occasions, Sargent refused to sell it. He considered it his best work and was very proud of it. Whenever he was deeply discouraged and doubtful of his abilities as an artist, he would look at him and remind himself, I painted that. Then his confidence and ability would come back to him. He said, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Well, I got thinking about that a little bit. There are times in my life when I look at myself and where I'm at, and how I fail, and how I wish I was better, and how I'm going to answer to God and all that. And I start getting a little worried about it, and I start losing my confidence a little bit. And the devil shows up and says, see that preacher over there? He's a better preacher than you, and God's used him more than you, and he's really a greater man than you, and he messed up. Makes you think you're going to make it. See, the devil talks to me like that. I don't know about you, but he does. Not in an audible voice, but this stuff in my head, you know. And I start losing my confidence a little bit. But there's a thing that happened once, 31 years ago, where God Almighty took a paintbrush and He dipped it in the blood of Jesus Christ. And He took that paintbrush and He went over the canvas of my life. And with that paintbrush, He painted a beautiful picture. It washed everything away. And I got that thing sitting in a place in my mind and in my soul where whenever I start to lose my confidence, I can look at it and I can say, Jesus painted that. And I get my confidence back. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As Brother Todd comes and the pianist comes, let me just ask you a question. You ever get worried about the judgment? You ever notice how far short you fall? And you are going to answer for your life. And it does, the reality of that does scare you. But Christian, if you'll walk the way you want to walk, if you'll live the way you want to live, if you'll look to the Lord like you ought to look to Him, you can have confidence. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful for the confidence that You give. I ask You to minister to Your people now during the invitation time and help them to respond according to Your will in Jesus' name.